I just want to make sure that, yes, we're recording, we're on. So Father, again, we're just so grateful that we can gather together like this. And Lord, I really trust that as your word goes out this morning, that it goes out with power, with authority, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That in all that is said here this morning, all that is done, the name of Jesus is exalted. That all the praise, honor, and glory, Father, go to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Good. Is there an echo? Yes, there is. Maybe just the, sorry, whatever it is. Yeah, maybe just turn it down a bit. Thank you. Folks, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be sharing it's either going to be a two-part series or a three-part series. But I really believe that these, whether it's two or three, these are important messages that we need to hear as believers. And not only hear, that we really need to apply in our own lives. Because how many of us here want to live a victorious life? I believe, yeah, I believe all of us want to live a victorious life. We want to live in victory. Now, the title of my message is, The Victory is in Jesus. Amen? This is part one of a series that might be a part two and a part three. We'll see how we go today. The victory is in Jesus. And I want to ask you a question. Do you know that it's God's desire for you to be victorious in life? He wants you to be victorious. He wants me to be victorious. He wants you and I to not just be a conqueror. He wants us to be more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. So it's really good that we know what God's desires are for us. But there are things, folks, that you and I need to put in place. There's a responsibility on us. So the Lord, we know that He's passionate. He's passionate about you. He's passionate about making sure that you and I are victorious in lives. And you know why He's passionate about you? Because He loves you. He just loves us. And He's seriously passionate about each and every one of us. But, and this is the big but, there are things that you and I need to put in place so that we receive the victory that He wants us to walk in. And He wants us to walk in this victory. So I want to speak about that for today, next week, and maybe the week after. The victory, first of all, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone who has been born of God." This is referring now to most Christians. Is that right? If you are born again, you. For everyone who has been born of God. So if you are a believer in Jesus, this is for you. Overcomes the world. Again, you are more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. And then it goes on to say, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. You know what it is? There it is on the screen. Our faith. Your faith and my faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So, folks, we are victorious. We should be living a victorious life because, you know, we have victory over this world, and not only this over this world, it's this world system as well. Verse 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one, except the one, except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, folks, for us to be victorious, the starting point, and the most important decision that you and I could ever make in our lives is to make that decision to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. That is the starting point. If you want to be victorious, but it's not just victorious here, because that victory takes us into an eternity where we will be spending eternity in the presence of Almighty God. So we need to know that we cannot do it without God the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And God the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us when we make that decision to receive Jesus. So that's where we start. So most of us here today, most of us here today have already taken that first step to ensuring that we live and lead a victorious life. The next thing that I want to speak about is that, and this is all linked, this is about living in victory, that you and I have an enemy out there that does not want you to be victorious. He doesn't want you to be victorious, folks, in any form or any way. He does not want you to be an overcomer. He does not want you to succeed in anything that you do. And his objective is to get into your life and to get into my life to steal, to kill, and to destroy at every level so that he frustrates us. He's a frustration to us. And his strategy, how does he do it? He comes in and he attacks us in the mind. That's his big one. He attacks us in our mind, in our thinking, to ensure that we start to have thoughts of failure. Now, if we fall for this, and many, many believers do, if we fall for this, we will be kept in a place exactly where he wants us to be, continually, without much victory in life, right? The Bible says, so I'm saying that the evil one comes and he plants those thoughts in our minds. The Word of God says that as a man thinketh or thinks, so is he. So how are you and I thinking? What are we processing, right? Do not entertain the devil. Do not entertain his thoughts and do not entertain his plans for you. And we need to be able to recognize when it is from the evil one. So many of us are in such a gray area, we don't even know, you know, is this from the devil or isn't it from the devil? In fact, the only way you will ever know whether it's from the devil is if you are spending time in the Word of God, because as we meditate on God's Word, it becomes very, very clear to us. And we become sensitive, you know, by having God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, we know the difference between right and wrong, and we know where failure comes from, and we know those thoughts if they are coming from the evil one. So we need to respond to the devil. Is that right? Okay. How do we do that? We renew our minds with the Word of God. I want to say that again. Our response to the evil one is making sure that we renew our minds with the Word of God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." So we are waging war, but we are not waging war according to the flesh. In other words, folks, if you really analyze this, people are not the problem. Okay? People are not the problem. So often, you know, we start to point fingers at people. God, you know, God gets upset with that because people are created in his image. Isn't that right? It is the spirit, so often it's the spirit that is behind the person that gets the person to do those horrible things that people do. And we need to be mindful of that. Where does it come from? Because if we don't know these things, we start to point fingers at the person. In actual fact, what is driving that person? So it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." It's the spirit behind it. Then he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Listen, the weapons of our warfare, this is war talk. We have weapons, and our warfare, that means that you and I are in a battle. You better believe that you're in a battle, and you better know who the enemy is. Word of God is clear. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." These are demonic strongholds that you and I have authority over. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God." And now, this is so important. He says, "And take every thought captive to obey Christ." We need to train ourselves to know that. But folks, for us to be able to obey Christ, we need to know what Christ is saying. And the only way we're going to know what Christ is saying or what the Word of God is saying is to get into the Word of God. How can we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ if we don't know the Word of God? I'm just saying. So here is the strategy. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. So when we start to think things that we should not be thinking, already we know that shouldn't be there. We take those thoughts and we put them into prison. Take them captive. Tie them up. Bind them up. Do not entertain them. So for us to be victorious, we need to refuse to entertain the thoughts of the evil one. Don't entertain it. Okay? Folks, he comes and he will try. I said earlier on, this is his strategy, is to get us thinking wrong. To get our thoughts wrong. So he tries to place thoughts in our minds. And if we are not aware and we are not alert, I'm telling you something, he will be victorious in those areas. So if you think thoughts of failure, let me say this, for long enough, you will start to believe them. You think thoughts of failure. I can tell you those thoughts of failure have not come from the Lord. So where do they come from? They come from the evil one. And the problem is we take these thoughts as thoughts of failure, or even some of the stuff, you know, we speak over people. But we take these thoughts of failure, we meditate on them, and they become so real to us. And, you know, maybe somebody told you when you were growing up, you will never amount to much. And you think about that, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You think about that, you know, and you think about it again as you grow up, and then you think, and then something happens in your life that didn't go well, and then you just start to believe the lie from the pit of hell that you will never amount up to much because that is your lot in life. And that, let me say, is where the evil one has come in there, and there's been utter destruction as a result of us not responding the way that we should have responded. So we must stop thinking thoughts of failure, because if we do it long enough, we believe the lie. We believe the lie. Question. So what do we do in a situation like this? Well, I'm so pleased that you asked this question, because we keep on going back to the Word of God. The Bible tells us what to do. James 4:7. And remember, with most of these things, there's a condition from God, eh? Most of them. If you want to come up against the evil one, the Word says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. That is the condition. That word submit means yield. We yield to God. We yield to Him. We place ourselves under God's authority. So the first step is submit yourselves therefore to God. And then it says this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, we must resist the devil. He's coming to mess up, you know, our lives and do whatever to come and steal the victory. Folks, you and I need to be those who resist the devil. Don't ask Jesus to resist the devil for you when the Word of God is very, very clear that we need to rise up with authority that we've been given to use that authority over the works, over the wiles of the evil one. And many Christians don't. Don't ask God to do it when He's told you and I to do it. I'm just saying. Maybe I should ask, do we do this? Do we rise up with our authority, like it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you? Folks, I really believe that this is an area where many, many Christians fall flat. We fall off the bus, okay? We miss the mark. We don't use the authority that has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid a high price for this authority to be given to us. And that was his shed blood. So the reason why we don't use our authority is probably one or two reasons. I'm sure there's probably more. The first reason why we never rise up and use the authority that we have is because we don't believe we have it. We're Christians, The Bible tells us we have it. We don't believe we have it. Therefore, we don't use it. That's one of the reasons. And the other reason is probably because we don't understand what authority we have. We've never spent time in the Word getting our head around how much authority we actually have. So the devil, let me say this, you know, in terms of us living a victorious life, he will have a field day with believers. I'm talking about believers who do not fight and use the weapons that God has given us to use against him. Huh? Folks, you can't go out there and actually win a fight and be passive and not hit back. We are in an army. When you got born again, you and I, all of us, we joined the army of God. And I need to say this about an army as well. It's no good. I mean, I went through military training. I know what it was like. We were stuck out, you know, in a certain place for 6 weeks. And it was absolute hell, right? But they made sure that we were ready and prepared after those 6 weeks to go out to war. It's no good, and even as Christians, where we are in the base camp, month in, month out, year in, year out, you know, getting fat, we know how to load our weapons, we know how to shoot, but we never go out and use and apply those things that we've actually learned. Where the Word of God says that we are in a battle. We just become fat with knowledge. Huh? We need to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And these are military terms or war terms that we've seen in the Word of God. And we know that he comes in like a flood into our lives. And so many of us, when he comes in, many of us just sit back and allow him to come in and do whatever he wants to do. We don't rise up. Folks, we as believers in Jesus need to be on the offensive. We need to go into the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy has stolen. And you know what he's stolen? He's stolen loved ones. Because any one of your loved ones that are not believers in Jesus, the enemy has got into their lives and stopped them from receiving salvation. Stop them from ultimately entering into the eternity that they should be entering into God's presence. So we need to be on the offensive of going into the enemy's camp and taking back what the enemy has stolen. But you know what we do? We complain. Oh God, you know, I never have victory in my life. Oh, is that right? We start to say these things, you know, it's just like everything that can go wrong goes wrong in my life. I just feel that I've never had breakthrough. Things are not going well for me. So often, folks, it's because we are passive Christians that refuse to rise up and utilize and use the authority that we have been given. And the Bible says that when we fight back, we are using our authority. And when we use our authority, you know what happens? The evil one flees. He will flee. In fact, you go and read, do a study on that. He flees as in terror. Now, what does flee mean? That he will run to escape from danger. So when we as believers rise up using our authority, the evil one will flee just to make sure he doesn't want to be around that sort of danger, because we are dangerous. Right? We are dangerous when we rise up using this authority that we actually have. So folks, if we want victory in life, I'm just going through some pointers. You know what the Word says? One of them is making sure that we know that we have an enemy and that we rise up and we use the authority that we have been given as believers. So important. I mean, I was thinking about this. Can you imagine being in a battle and the conflict, the one that you're in conflict with, doesn't believe you exist? I'm just saying, there are Christians that do not believe that the devil exists. And the devil goes, this is a walkover. This is an absolute walkover. Christians don't believe that the devil exists. He just comes in like old Roman dog and he just does his thing. I'm just saying, we need to know what the Word of God says and start to apply these things. The next thing, for us to be victorious, for us to not just be a conqueror, that we are more than a conqueror, that we are those who are overcomers, we need to, folks, pay attention to God's Word. This is so important. Let me read Proverbs 4 verse 20 to you. It says, my son and my daughter, be attentive to my words. In other words, God's word, he wants us to observe his words. He wants us to listen to his words with care. He goes on to say, this is God speaking to us, incline your ear to my sayings. And that means that we need to listen to what God is saying to us. How do we listen to what he's saying to us? We read the word, because that is where he's talking to us. God doesn't stop there. He says, let them not escape from your sight. Don't allow the words, my words, God says, to escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. In other words, we grab hold of them. We don't let them go. We hang on to them no matter what. God's word. Then verse 22 says, for they, talking about the word of God, are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. So folks, if you want life, and you want life in abundance, and also if you want healing in your body, you and I need to read the word of God and apply God's word in our lives. That's where the victory is. That's where the victory is. We will not experience victory. Okay, in these difficult times that we are living in right now, if we make a decision to refuse to listen to what our Creator is saying to us, how can we be victorious when this is what he's saying to us? Folks, victory comes. It comes when we submit to his will. Victory comes when you and I make that decision to be those who are doers of the word of God and not just hearers. And that is also a problem in the body of Christ, that we are hearers, we'll listen, and we walk out and we say, oh, that was interesting, and we don't apply. God is saying to us today, these times we're living in right now, hear my word, meditate on my word, but most of all, make sure that you do my word. We need to do his word. And folks, we need to remember too, that if God is for us, then who can be against us? And he is for us. Just while I'm talking about this thing of the word of God, how important it is, I want to read us another portion of scripture so that we can pay attention to, you know, well, let's just see what it says. I want to read us Joshua 1 verse 8. It says, this book of the law, this is the word of God, is that right? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, we need to know it and we need to be speaking it from your mouth. But you and I, shall meditate on it day and night. Day and night, reading the word of God, meditating on the word of God. Why does God want us to do that? He tells us. He says, why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. And then he says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. All gets back to the word of God. Believers, so I'm a Christian, but you don't open your Bible every day. Okay? Folks, what I've read to us over here, I don't think it can be any clearer than what God is telling us that we must do to ensure that there is victory in our lives and to make sure that we are victorious and to make sure that we have great success. He's told us right there. That's all we have to do. Let's just apply all of these things. The next one. The next thing about us being victorious. And what I'm going to share right now, I believe this is another area where many of us as believers, we miss the mark when it comes to this. Okay? We speak words coming out of our mouths that are contrary to what we believe that we are going to receive from God. It's our speech. Our tongue, we need to know that we know that we know that our tongue, our words, our tongue is a creative force. You know, it's interesting, and I know I've said this before, but I want to say it again today. Our tongue, you know that God, when He created, how did He do it? He said, let there be. He spoke things into existence. Isn't that right? Let there be light. And yet the same God says that you and I are created in His image. So we need to know, folks, that there's power in our words, right? And it's power for good, and it's power for evil as well, or bad. We need to be mindful of this. We need to put a bridle on our tongues. And I know it's difficult. I'm just telling you what the word says. Then it's up to each one of us to go out and apply it in our own lives. But we need to be those who put a bridle on our tongues. You know, we ask God for the victory. It might be because we are in ill health. And you know what happens? So you're not feeling well. You've come forward and you've had the whole church stand around you and pray for you and lay hands on you and just, you know, release God's healing power into your body. You go out of there and you see your friend in the queue at Pick and Pay. And they know you haven't been well. And they say to you, man, how are you doing? You can't wait to tell them how sick you are. You can't wait. There's like something on the inside of us. We can't wait to go and to give people a bad report. You know, I don't know, maybe it's because we want sympathy or whatever it is. But all we have done, we've gone out there and nullified those prayers that people have stood and prayed over us. Huh? I want to include what Jesus said. Now, I can't remember if I used this scripture last week or 3 weeks ago, whenever, but it ties into what I'm sharing here today. Mark 11:23. Jesus speaking to us today. He says to us, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes what he says comes out of his mouth will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, let's just again look at this. Truly I say, Jesus speaking to us, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, again, folks, I'll ask you, what is the mountain in your life? Is it lack of finances? Is that your mountain? Is it health issues? That might be your mountain. What is the mountain in your life? What Jesus is telling us to do is to speak to our mountain, because there is power in the spoken word, especially when we attach the name of Jesus where all authority is. So he says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, in other words, when you have spoken to your mountain, don't allow doubt to come in, because it's so easy that we start to doubt. You know, we're going through stuff because we're in a fallen world. We're doing what the word says, and suddenly the doubt comes in, which is really the opposite of faith, isn't it? So don't allow the doubt to come in. But believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him, Jesus said. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Now, there's another clue. Believe that you have received it. My question is, when do we believe that we have received it? And Jesus says that we believe that we have received it when we pray. We don't wait for the manifestation of it to come. He made it very, he didn't have to say that. He could have left that, you know, that verse out. So when do we believe that we receive? We believe that we receive when we pray. Isn't that true? And if that's the case, if I am, let me use an example here. If I'm in a situation that I am really struggling financially, let's say that. And I take it to the Lord and I do what the Lord told me to do. And I believe that I have received when I pray. What is my response? My response should be that I go and jump on my bed. And I start to sing hallelujah. And I start to just lose it running around the garden because I'm so excited. Because I have Jesus says, believe that you have received when you pray. Don't believe that you've received when you see the manifestation of it. So he's giving us a very vital clue here on how we pray and how we need to respond. Am I right in saying that if I believe I've received something, my attitude should change? I should just be... Jesus could have left that verse out, but he didn't. So there is a very important clue, I believe, for us. And then Jesus said these words because he wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be not just a conqueror, to be more than a conqueror. And so we should speak these words, right? Making sure that we speak in life into situations and not nullifying things that have been prayed over us by our negative confessions. That's all I'm saying. So really, we must answer every doubt immediately after, you know, with whatever the Word of God says. So let me ask you, what does the Word of God say about healing? If you are in a place that you need healing, what you and I should be doing is going to the Scriptures. We take all those healing Scriptures out and we start to meditate on them. And remember, I spoke about this a while back, you've got the Logos Word of God and you've got the Rhema Word of God. There is no power in the Logos Word of God. So as we meditate on them and as we get a revelation of those healing Scriptures, the Logos becomes Rhema, and that's when it's powerful and that's when things will change. Isn't that right? So what does the Word of God say on sickness? That's what we need to be doing. What does the Word of God say about doubt? Get those doubt Scriptures out. What does the Word of God say about unforgiveness? What does the Word of God say about strife, lack, all of these things, fear? What does the Word of God say about anxiety? We heard this morning what the Word of God says about anxiety. We start to take those scriptures and we apply them in our lives. Amen. So that they become revelation. Logos Word becomes Rhema. That's when they become powerful. I just want to briefly recap on what I shared here this morning. Is that okay? Just on some of this stuff. We want to live victorious lives. And God wants us to be victorious. But there are things that we need to put in place. The first one I mentioned, most important decision we'll ever make in our lives. Making the decision to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Because at that point, God, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives on the inside of us. And life changes. Right, so that is a starting point. The next thing that I mentioned is that, folks, we resist Satan and we refuse to entertain his thoughts, those things that he places in our minds. And I said earlier on that when he attacks us, that is where he attacks us. It's in our thinking, right? And we need to resist him with the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Amen. The next one I mentioned was fight the good fight of faith. We need to be men and women of faith. Right? We walk by faith and not by sight. But the important thing is that we know how we get faith. And we all know it here. How do we get faith? Faith comes by?
Yeah.
Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Again, it points back to God's Word. That's how we get faith. The next one. Make a decision to be a doer and not just a hearer of the word. Many believers in churches all around the world, we know that. We sit in churches, we hear the word of God, we listen and we say, and we don't apply it. God has said, no. We need to hear his word and we need to then do his word. So, and when we do it, you know what that's doing? That's just really showing that we are responding in faith, isn't it? Okay, so we respond in faith. Another one that I mentioned, refuse to speak words that will contradict what you are trusting and believing the Lord for. Why? Because there is power in our words. Be careful. Use our words carefully, selectively. I think a big one too is that we need to continually be those who walk in the light. Isn't that right? Okay. And also make sure that we are not living a lifestyle of sin or practice, you know, continually practice wrongdoing. Now, we all mess up. How many of us haven't sinned this week? And if you didn't put up your hand, I'm going to call you a liar. All right, all of us. Okay, we've messed up. But when we start to accept it and it becomes a lifestyle, this is not pleasing to the Lord. So let's address those things in our lives. Also, make sure that there is no doubt or unbelief that's permitted in our lives when we start to unpack the promises of God. And remember that the promises of God, in most situations, there is a condition. There's always kind of something that we should be doing. Next one, become a person of prayer. Are we? I'm challenging us. Are we men and women of prayer here today? Right? Remember that prayer is the engine room. Prayer is the engine room of your life, and prayer is the engine room of this church as well. Also, you know, give glory to God even before we see the manifestation of that thing that we are trusting God for. I spoke about what Jesus said, that we believe we received when we pray. And let our body language demonstrate that as well. Right? Let us just do that. So we act right there. We act as if we've received. Sounds complicated, doesn't it? But it's not. Might look a bit weird. You know, I'm praying for something. I'm trusting the Lord for a breakthrough. And I'll start just jumping up in it because I'm so excited. But that's what he's telling us to do. So folks, I really believe that the Lord wants to turn around areas in our lives. You know, in all of us here, there are areas in your life and my life that we are experiencing great victory. But there are also areas in our lives where we are not experiencing great victory. And I believe that the Lord wants us to experience great, great victory in all areas of our lives. And for this to happen, we need to step out. We need to be bold. We need to be courageous and do those things that he's actually calling us to do. This victory that we're speaking about today, this breakthrough, okay, really, it's when we start applying his principles in our own lives. So that is really the introduction of what I wanted to share, you know, today. As I say, I want to get into a little bit more detail next week and probably the week after that, because I think this is a very important topic, right, for us, especially in the times we are living. And I know, can I tell you something? What I've shared here today, if you've been a Christian, well, in this church for more than 2 years, you've heard this before. But we need to apply it, and we need to be reminded of it. Okay? We need to continually remind ourselves of the basic foundations that we actually find in the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.